What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. This is part two in our series with David Harris. He's dentistry's top expert in embezzlement. I hope that never happens to you. And what he does for us on the podcast is lay down a framework today on a great system to reduce the chance of embezzlement in your dental practice. It's amazing, and very few dentists ever do this. So please do this, and please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the GM. I have the coolest job in the world. I get to interview my friends who are geniuses. They're influencers, speakers, leaders, teachers in all of dentistry to share with you some thinking, some frameworks so that you can have a better practice and a better life. It's awesome because I don't care if you're driving to work or if you're cleaning the garage, you're cutting the grass. This stuff, I hope if you listen to it, just a little bit of it, and you would apply it to your practice, it makes your life and your business better. And I have a recurring guest on today, dear friend of mine. His name is David Harris, and he runs a great company called Prosperident. And what we're going to do today is give you some thought processes, a system that you can use to make your business better. David, thanks for being back, brother. Appreciate you.
Well, great to be with you. And, you know, when you call me a friend, that always means a whole lot to me because I really treasure our friendship.
Well, that's very kind of you, but you and I have known each other for a very long time, and you already know I'm not very smart. So I call David when I have questions, and our clients do too. So I'll just give you a little bit of our relationship. I've had David on the podcast many times. He's also been on Howard Foran's podcast. I think you're the number one guest on Howard Foran's podcast, if that's correct, right?
I was, yeah. Somebody may have dethroned me, but last time I was on, it was the most anybody had done it. So
yeah. And the reason
I'm proud of that.
Yeah. There's many reasons for that. Number one, you're going to see he's a brilliant guy and a really good guy. He also serves a part of the market in this great profession that nobody else does. I consider David in a category of one. And David, maybe you share with the listeners, what is it that you do and who are you?
Well, for the last 35 years, I've been the CEO of a company called Prosperident. And Prosperident deals with one very narrow problem in dentistry, employee theft. And if you're saying as you hear that it will never happen to me, you're wrong. Embezzlement will strike more than 70% of dentists at some point in their career. The average case loss from our files, the average is about $109,000.
Wow.
Usually about once a year, Kirk, we see somebody who steals $1 million or more from their dentist. So this is not an insignificant problem. And our job is to conduct stealthy investigations for dentists if they have concerns about embezzlement, and also to help them put the structure in place that will protect them. And I think that's where we're going today, if I have it right.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like I got to do a disclaimer every single time. You know, again, the name of the show is Best Practices. I hope if you're listening, you never get embezzled. You never deal with this. But we've coached a lot of dentists, and this is a big problem. David is the person we call. And so our goal with this is not to create any, you know, not to create any angst or get you upset. It's just to lay down some best practices. If you listen to what David tells you, it all works. there's systems, protocols you can put in. So it doesn't completely prevent it from happening, but it greatly reduces the chance of it happening. And today we're going to be talking about daily information versus monthly information, right, David?
Absolutely. So every practice that has practice management software has the ability at the end of each day to generate a report. It has different names in different software. It's sometimes informally called a day sheet or a day end report or a daily summary. But that report prints, when it's printed, shows line by line what happened in your practice today. So if you had a hygiene patient in and they had some scaling and root planing done, and they also got fluoride and they had radiographs and they made payments, all those things will show up again line by line on your day end report. I expect every dentist knows this, but on the best practices show, we don't always take anything for granted. So we're gonna start there. I think every dentist knows that they should look at that report. What they're not always sure of is what they should do with it. And the conventional wisdom was, I should look at how much money came in and make sure that that balances to my bank deposit. Personally, I think that exercise for the dentist is much better done at the end of each month rather than trying to do it at the end of each day. What I want you to look at on your day end report, doctor, is a couple of things. The first thing is very simple. Does it line up with what I remember happened today? In other words, if I'm looking at the day end report and I see a two service filling, but I remember that was a really big four service and I talked to the patient about a crown on that tooth, that's an issue. Maybe it's embezzlement, maybe it's just a clerical error, but the difference between a two service and a four service filling is significant. And if the lesser one is on your day end report, that's going to cost you money. So first thing I want you to look at with the day end report is, does it agree with what I remember happened today? Which of course is confined only to your own operatory because you won't have a whole lot of memory of what happened everywhere else. But when you're looking at other providers in your practice, what I want you to ask is, does it make sense? So if your policy on radiographs is that patients should get annual bite wings and a panoramic every 5 years, if you're looking at a hygienist who saw 10 patients today, there should be something around 4 to 5 sets of film plus probably one panel. And it's obviously a small sample size. So if you look at one day and there are two sets of bite wings, I wouldn't necessarily think a whole lot about that. But if you look at a whole week and the hygienist is averaging two sets of bite wings, you know, maybe it was an anomalous week, or maybe x-rays aren't being updated as per your protocol, or maybe in the worst scenario, they are and they're not being billed to the patients. So you need to have a little bit of a kind of common sense logic review, like does what I'm seeing make sense compared to what I think should be happening in that operatory? That's your day end review. Again, my suggestion is not to try to do anything financial. Your staff should be balancing at the end of each day, but I don't see a huge upside to you checking their work each day. I think you can do that better monthly, and I'll talk about that in a minute. To me, Kirk, that day end review should take 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll mention is that if you have multiple providers, so you have a hygienist or you have an associate dentist, at the end of each day, they should also be handed their own day end report, and they should be required to sign off that, yes, this is what happened in my operatory today. And that just adds some accountability onto their shoulders for making sure that what their report says corresponds with what they did. So that's the day end routine. I'm going to add one more thing though to the day end that might not occur to every dentist.
Please.
Any report that you rely on should be one that you printed.
Oh.
If you allow somebody else to print a report and hand it to you, you have opened the door to selective reporting. And I'm not going to get into the techniques of how somebody could manufacture a report that looks like it tells the whole story when it doesn't. But I'll tell you that it happens a lot.
Yeah.
So print your own damn reports.
Okay. So I'm just going to say, Dave, this is a big reason. I would have never even thought of that in 30 years of even trying to create something like you've created to like put that step in place. And I almost don't even want to ask you why you learned that, because you get to see it all, right?
I get to see what goes wrong in practices that results in missing money and the easy workarounds. But it is not hard in practice management software to make the software lie.
Yeah.
And when you print your own reports, you shut down the easiest way to do that. I know what some dentists are thinking as they hear this. Well, I don't know how to do that. You know, I'm worried I might break something. It's okay to be a little apprehensive about your software, but one of your goals should be to get comfortable enough in your own software that you can find things and you can print reports. So if you're not sure how to do this, there's somebody who can show you. Every brand of practice management software has trainers who would help you with that if you asked. There are lots of consultants who are good in a software. So, you know, if you're using Dentrix, there are probably 500 consultants in the United States who could teach you how to print your data and reports. You know, there are also YouTube videos, the way I learned how to do plumbing. So lots of options out there.
Yeah. And I think the first, can I add this? You know, the first thing most dentists that I know of would say, well, this takes a lot of time. It really doesn't take a lot of time if it's part of your regular routine. The other thing, if you go back and listen to the previous podcast that David and I just did, what you're doing is you're creating a framework in which if somebody ever did this, they would have to work with another team member to do it. Again, I don't want to create alarm. It's just best practices. The day sheet alone, let me just say this. The day sheet alone by itself, I know so many dentists personally, I could actually say their names on the podcast, that have never done this. That alone is like step number one in this whole process.
It absolutely is. And again, let's even park for a minute the concept of dishonesty, you know, that somebody's trying to steal from you. Traditional error rate in key punching, in other words, in entering information into a computer, is somewhere between 1% and 3%. So even if somebody's not stealing, there are enough errors being made in your software each week to cost you more than the time value, more than the value of your time to do this. So if you want a best practice, it is this. At the end of today, before you go home, you need to spend 10 minutes. And again, ask yourself two questions about your day and reporting. Does it line up with my memory and does it make sense? Again, don't worry about the money on a daily basis. We're going to talk in a minute about what should happen at your month end.
Love it. Love it. Now, we're going to transition to monthly. And this is the important one because now we're going to start to put them together. So what does that mean?
Well, here's the step that a lot of dentists miss that is really important. And as soon as I outline it for you, you'll probably see the benefit. And the term I'm going to talk about is articulation. And I'm very deliberately borrowing a term from dentistry because as soon as I say articulation, you know, every dentist in the audience is picturing jaw function and you know, the friendship that the mandible should have with the maxilla. And again, I'm borrowing from that very purposefully here. What articulation means when I talk about it, in other words, financial articulation, is this. If your practice was open 16 days last month, and in your left hand, you've got 16 day end reports that were the ones that you printed at the end of each day. And once you print a report and look at it, get in the habit of putting your initials on it so you know that that's the one you saw. Because otherwise, reports look very similar, and it would be easy to slip one report in exchange for another one. So put your initials on the report when you've seen it and put it away. So at the end of the month, you bring these 16 reports out and in your left hand, you have those. And in your right hand, you have a month end summary from your software that prints what happened in the whole month. Now, what we want to do is to take the 16 reports and produce totals for three important numbers. And those numbers are fees charged, adjustments made, and payments received. So fees, adjustments, and payments. And we want to total those three things up. And they should be exactly, and I mean to the penny, the same as the totals on your month-end report. One of the best ways for people to hide stuff from you, in other words, to enter stuff into your software that they don't want you to see, is to do it after hours. And if somebody comes in on a Saturday and puts a bunch of transactions through and then does a day end report and shred it, if your focus is looking at day end reports, or if you just look at the month end report, you will never know that happened. On the other hand, when you articulate the 16 or whatever number of day-end reports with the month-end report, if they don't add up, then you know instantly that somebody did extracurricular data entries in your software. And from there, probably your next step is to call me and find out what happened and why it wasn't on any of your day-end reports.
Okay. Can I ask you a question about, you wouldn't necessarily want to do just 1 month, right? Let's say, okay, I just checked this month or this past month with my day sheets. What's the time frame that you would consider like best practices?
This needs to happen every month for the rest of your life. There's no sunset to this, Kirk. You've got to do this every month. Because if you don't, and somebody realizes that that comparison isn't happening, then they will, if they're stealing, they will find a way to make after hours entries. And again, I'm not going to talk about the content of those entries, but it's quite possible to fool you by doing that. So they will make after hours entries, and then you will have money missing and not realize it.
Right. But I guess my question was, you know, I already checked June. June's good. Now I'm just going to work on July and then August. I think you should always be looking at making sure those months always match up, not just one time, right?
Yeah, this should be part of your month-end routine.
Okay.
And a big part. The second part, once you've done the articulation, is now to compare collections against deposits. So you have a collections number, which again was the same on the 16 or whatever day end reports you have and on the month end report. And now we should be able to see that money plus or minus a little bit going into the bank. Will the bank deposit line up perfectly with what you collected according to your practice management software? Not likely. And the reason is something called timing differences. So if a patient pays by credit card on the last day of this month, your practice management software is going to treat that as a payment this month, but it takes a couple of days from when a patient pays by credit card to when the money hits your bank account.
Right.
So if somebody pays on July 31st by credit card, that will be a July transaction in your practice management software and an August transaction in your bank. So unlikely that collections are going to add up perfectly to deposits. But the thing to remember about timing differences is that they reverse in the next month. So if I pay in July by credit card, in July, if let's say I pay $4,000 on the last day of July by credit card, and let's assume that's the only timing difference in July, then I'm going to show practice management software collections greater than bank by $4,000. But in August, I'm going to start August with a $4,000 deposit to my bank account that has no offset in practice management software because the offset happened in July. So if that's the only timing offset in July, then in July, I will show bank deposits greater than collections in my software by $4,000.
Right.
So if you want to see if you have a problem, it's very simple. Each month when you do this exercise, and there's going to be a variance, plot it on a graph. And then over time, when you look at the variances, it should kind of look roughly like a sine wave. In other words, you should have some months with practice management software collections greater than bank deposits, and you're going to have other months with bank deposits greater than practice management software. If you looked at 6 months and the trend was all in one direction, that's not timing. That's when something else is happening, and you probably should call 911 David.
Yeah. For sure. Can I ask you, let's go granular on this. So David, if I'm taking notes, so I'm going to take these sheets and then would I put this in a Google sheet or, you know, these print in a Google sheet and just add them up monthly? I'm just trying to get my brain around
That's exactly what you do. In fact, we'll make it easy for people. We have an Excel spreadsheet that does this for you.
Even better.
And you know, all you have to do is email me or contact us through the website, and Kirk will, I'm sure, put up the contact details in the show notes. All you have to do is contact us and ask for our monthly monitoring spreadsheet, and we'll send it to you. And it does all the donkey work. I mean, all you have to do at the end of each day is just enter those three big numbers, which again are fees, adjustments, and payments, into the software, and then it'll total them for the end of the month for you, and you can compare them to your month end report. So we make it pretty simple.
Okay, that was the tip of the day. We're going to go right there. David, I need your email address right now so that I'm going to put this in the show notes for you guys, and I'm going to encourage you to reach out to David. He's going to help you. But David, give it to the listeners right now. How do I get this?
It's pretty simple. Requests@prosperident.com, which is our company name.
All right.
And just send an email there and say, I was listening to this fascinating episode on the Best Practices Show, and my longevity will be extended by 5 years if you would just please send me that magic spreadsheet. Just say that and we'll send it to you right away.
Deal. I have no doubt that is absolutely true. And again, you know, it would take me forever to create that spreadsheet. You know that. So it's good knowing that you do that. Now, this is pretty heavy, the daily and the monthly. And again, these are just frameworks to up your game and make sure that the system of checks and balances is done well. But give us some final thoughts. Wrap a big bow on this, David.
I will. And you know, one of my clients I was talking to years ago, this guy he lost about $300,000 from embezzlement. And I asked him at the end of that, what did you learn from this? And I thought his answer was brilliant and really summarized a lot of what we're about. He said, I have learned to trust systems, not people. In other words, for a lot of dentists, the only, and I stress the word only, the only reason they haven't been stolen from so far is that their staff who could do it and get away with it have chosen not to. And it's wonderful that you have staff that make that choice, but it's also a really precarious place to be when the only barrier between you and being stolen from is staff honesty.
Yeah. And I've found, you know, I hope you heard what David said the right, you know, so brilliantly, is that when you have systems in place, you can trust your people more. It's all done by the system. It's not like, do I trust you? Do I not trust you? If you've ever raised teenage daughters, you know how this goes. They're like, you don't trust me. Look, I trust you, but we have systems here and I verify the systems. So it's not a trust issue. It's a data issue. I can see what time you got home and it's how it works. So even the people that are closest to you, you don't want to make this like a me versus you thing. No, we have a system. And there's that's a heavier episode, but like the dynamic of trust is that when two people can both agree to a system, now we've got transparency, we've got alignment, and we always say it here at Act Dental, misalignment is the root of all evil. It's whenever you get sideways with somebody, it's just we're not aligned. So what David's teaching us on these podcasts and what his company does is just get everybody aligned around these systems for best practices. So David, I think this is awesome, buddy. I know people that are listening to this are going to want to know more. Okay, what else do you do other than that? Like, if I have other things I'm thinking about, can I reach out to you?
Well, you can reach out to me for anything, but employee theft is really our bread and butter. So, again, we do stealthy investigations when people think they might have an issue or they just want to know that they're not being stolen from. And we work proactively with dentists to put the systems in place to lower their risk. And what Kirk and I have been talking about today is just a very small piece of the proactive systems work that we do with dentists.
Yeah. So, David, as always, man, I just love having you on here. I'm going to have you back again and again and again just to introduce best practices. So thank you for being on today, brother.
It was a pleasure. Good to see you always.
Good to see you. Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. Again, our goal with this show is just to bring on the best experts in all of dentistry to help you build a better practice and a better life. And if you listen to David, he's going to help you with some systems, some protocols that will ensure that that happens. Make sure you reach out to him. If you weren't taking notes today, don't worry. We take notes for you. You can actually flip up to the notes in Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes. I don't care where you consume the podcast. Our goal is to give you some great information and make it easy for you. You can actually click right on his email address in the notes section, and you can ask him for that spreadsheet and he'll send it to you. Think about that. It's going to save so many hours of your life. So please do it. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here. and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.